Lord, we just thank you for your precious, precious word that divides between soul and spirit, Lord, that shows us who we are and where we are with you. And we just ask, Lord, simply as your word is read out, that you would touch each of us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar. Sorry, I've lost it. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together, Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba.
Okay, thank you. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that for everyone here today, you want to speak to our hearts today, Lord. Lord, you want this word to have an application that's going to help us, that's going to help us come into all the fullness of the blessing that you have for us. Lord, you said you've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And I ask, Lord, today, Lord, that this word will bring the revelation that brings us into a greater place of your blessing. Lord, you want to bless your children. You want to bless them with the very blessing of Abraham, Lord. So, Father, help us today, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, understand this word. Help it be life to us, Lord. Make it life to us. Anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This passage is about many things, and I'm only going to focus on a couple of things today. But it's obviously it's a type of Christ. It's a type of it's a shadow of what God has done through Christ at the cross, because it's a time where God said to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, and offer him up." And this passage is a shadow, and it happened this very same mountain that God offered Christ up for us, that our sin could be forgiven. And it's confusing in some ways, because you look at this passage and God asks Abraham to offer his son, when his son was never going to be and never going to be able to be the ultimate sacrifice, because he was too impure and too imperfect. And that wouldn't happen till God offered his own son, Jesus. But God still asked him to offer up his son. And you, when you read this, you say, well, in the end, God asked him to offer up his son. Then God said, stop, I don't want you to slay your son. So God asked him to do something. At the very last minute, God said, no, I don't want you to do that. I ask you to offer your son, but now I don't want you to slay your son. And so what is it about? What is the passage all about? And right there at the start, it says God tested Abraham. And sometimes your issue or your problem or your challenge is not really your challenge. And your issue is not really your issue. Your issue is simply a test. And your challenge you're going through is simply a test. Because before God elevates, before God promotes, before God blesses fully somebody, God tests us. God tests us whether we will be faithful and able to handle the promotion or the elevation or the new dimension that he wants us to walk to in the spirit. And Job says, he spoke about everything he went through, all Job's difficulty. Somehow in the midst of it, Job knew it was a test, because he said, when he has tested me, when God has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So God wants to bring you forth refined, purified as gold. And gold is refined. It's put in fire, not to incinerate it, but to refine it. And God uses tests to not only they precede your promotion, but they also they refine your life. Tests and trials is how God refines you. And some of this, could you imagine this test? Abraham comes home to his wife, Sarah, who for 25 years they've believed God's miraculous word. He's got a barren wife, she's postmenopausal, and God says she's gonna have a child. And nothing happens for 20 years until the word of God prevails, and this woman finally has her Isaac. And she finally has this child that she's believed for, that she's trusted God for her whole life, or for a great portion of her life, believing God, walking by faith. God finally delivers. And Abraham comes home and says to Mrs. Abraham, the boy, we need to offer him as a burnt offering. We actually need to take, and a burnt offering was an ugly thing. It's where you spread out the animal and you slit its throat and then you burned it. Is an awful thing. And God comes home to Sarah and says, we need the boy. The Bible actually doesn't say actually that he even told Sarah that. I'm assuming, I'm just saying this is what he might have done. But let me tell you, when God tests you, Some tests are so personal and so, because you have a personal history with God that I don't understand anything about it. I got a personal history with God. I got a testimony of God that I can't even tell. It's just too complex because it's my personal history with God and it's mine. And some of my tests that I've had by God, you can't relate to them because they're personal. And we've all got our own personal history with God. We've all got our own stuff with God that only we understand. And God tests us with custom-made tests. My test is not your test, but I will be tested and you will be tested. God will test you. God will test you before he blesses you. Now, I want to speak about this test. What is this test about? Bubba says God tested Abraham. And Abraham was his friend. By this stage, Abraham had walked with God, and God considered Abraham his friend, and God tested his friend. And look what it says. It says, verse 2, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. The first part of the test is always this. God will test you in regard to who you love the most, what you love the most. It said Abraham had been blessed with this child and he loved this child. And God said, I want you to offer up what you love the most. You know why God does it? Because God is a jealous God. The word of God says you're to love the Lord with all your soul, all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You're to love God. And all the words of the Bible, all the commands of God, all the moral requirements of God are met when we love God and we love people. But God will test what you love the most. And Abraham had a weakness in his life. Whenever God called him to do something, he put family before God. And a lot of people today even justify that. They believe, being a Christian, it's okay to put family before God because God understands. But God asked Abraham to leave Ur and to get out of his country, and he had a weakness. He always put his family above the command of God. He took Lot with him. And Lot was this, I call him Lot, Abraham's golden thread of disobedience, and he caused him a lot of pain. Even if it's family, it'll cause you a lot of pain. And then finally, his wife says, let's sleep with my maid. And he obeys his wife rather than trust God. So he has this golden thread of obedience. He loves his family a little bit more than he loves God. And finally, God brings him to the place. He says, I'm going to bless you, but I want to test you whether you've sorted that thing out. Now, do you love me more than anything? And so the test is firstly about who you love most. Who you love most. And Abraham's come to this place where his walk with God is so great that he loves God more than anything. He loves God more than even his Sarah and all his family. God is the love of his life. And that's where God wants us, into a place where we obey him simply because we love him. And the second part of the test is this. God says to him, he says, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him on Mount Moriah. And Abraham knows that the promise of God is coming through Isaac. God's going to bless him. God has said he's going to bless him. He's going to make him a father of many nations. He's going to make his descendants more numerous than the stars. And God has said it's going to all come through Isaac, but now you want me to offer up Isaac. So what Abraham was required to do was to believe God. That the believe God, I believe Abraham believed God would give Isaac back. God would raise Isaac. And that Abraham was required to do what God had directed him. And as he walked, he was believing all the time, step by step, he was believing God for the impossible. God said, offer him, and he was believing God for the impossible, that as he obeyed God, God would, this promise of God that his descendants would come through Isaac would not be annulled, that Isaac's life would still be spared, even though he was going to offer him up. And when God gives you a word, and when God calls you, he tests you whether you walk by faith. And what a test is, a test of faith, is that God speaks to you something, and he speaks to you in your inner ear. He speaks to you, not logos, he speaks to you rhema. This is why the Bible says the church, the church of Revelation, the Latter-day Church, needs to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And the Holy Spirit will tell you to do something, and it's your test, and you've got to do it. Nobody else will understand it. And mostly that test will seem impossible. It'll be hard to do. And what is required when God speaks to you something, and when God gives Abraham an instruction, he says, go to Moriah. And it's not a detailed instruction. He doesn't tell him where in Mount Moriah. He says, go to the mountain in Moriah. But all Abraham's required to do, when God gives you an instruction, when God gives you a word, when God speaks to you in the Spirit, I want to tell you, it's not detailed. It is not detailed. It's just a word that you need to obey. And you need to walk out as best you can, believing God for the impossible. God's going to perform and perfect the word. God's going to do the impossible, that what he's calling you into. And it is God's instructions are not detailed. Some people say to me, oh, God tells me where to park in the supermarket, and God said this, and God says that. I want to tell you, God is not like that. When God speaks to you a word in the Spirit, he speaks to you, and he gives you instruction, not second by second, because he wants you to walk by faith. He requires you to walk by faith. And as you walk by faith, he gives you the next instruction when you need it. He said to Abraham, offer up your son. And that's all he said. The next time God spoke was when Abraham had the dagger raised. And he speaks to you when you need to hear it. That's when God speaks, when you need to hear it. And he speaks to you. It's like, I got this thing in my car. And it tells me where to drive. And it says, drive southeast. And I'm trying to get to a certain location. And sometimes I think, I'm not sure I'm going on the right direction. And the thing is silent. And I'm starting to feel insecure. And my nav man will not, or my Google map will not speak to me when I want it to speak to me. It speaks to me just before I need to turn. That's what God is like. God, when he tests your faith and he calls you to walk by faith, does not speak into your insecurity. He does not speak into your insecurity. He'll allow you to be insecure. He'll bring you to that place of insecure, because what he's interested in is to see whether you trust him. Is see how much you trust him. And he tells Abraham, he says, go. Go to Moriah. Abraham just starts to go. And he's leading his two servants and his son. And he actually doesn't know specifically where he's going. Sometimes as a leader, that's what it's like. God tells you to do something, and people expect you to know all the details, all the instructions, your five-year plan. But God isn't like that. It's just step by step, trusting and obeying what God has told you last. It is doing the thing God told you last. And to continue to walk doing the thing God told you last, trusting him that when you need the next instruction, he's going to speak. And it's so important we understand what faith is. Faith isn't, it's not working something up. It's simply hearing in that still small voice, I know I've heard from God. God has told me to give this up. God has told me to lay that down. God has told me to quit doing that. Or God has told me to start doing this. And all I need to do is continue to walk, trusting God, believing God, that as I do that, he's got goodness ahead of my life. He's going to bless my obedience, but I've just got to continue to walk and do what he's told me last. And you know what happens? He starts to walk in obedience. He says, go to Mount Moriah. Or go to Moriah, and you'll offer him on a mountain. He doesn't even know where the mountain is. But as you start to walk, and as you start to walk before God in faith, trusting him, that word he's given you, whatever it is in your life, to do this, to do that, when he gets to Moriah, he just says, that's it. That's the mountain. And that's how it is with God. When you start walking in obedience with God, he'll give you the broad strokes direction. But as you start to just walk before him in obedience like that, the details, you'll just know them in your knower. Sometimes that's the job. I've been walking with God. I know that's the job. That's the job I've been believing for. That's it. There's no doubt. I know it in my knower. Or that's the woman I've got to marry. That's the one I've been waiting for 8 years. She's the one. You walk in general obedience without details. And when Abraham got to the mountain, he just knew. He just knew the provision of God. Because when you walk in obedience, believing God for the impossible, he makes you know what he's doing. He allows you to know what he's doing. He shows you things and he puts things in your spirit. You just know where you're supposed to be, where you're supposed to go. And so Abraham is tested. He's tested here about what he loves most. He's tested whether he will walk with God, obeying what God has told him and trusting every step of the way, just trusting God for the impossible every step of the way, trusting God's going to work it out, how it's all going to work out, trusting God that Isaac's not going to be lost, just trusting God. As I do what God has told me, as I follow the last instructions, God's going to work out the future. God's going to work out the details. God's going to work out the plan. God's power is going to make the impossible possible. That's what faith is. It's simply trusting, trusting, trusting. God's going to make it all happen. God may tell you, you may have a addiction problem or something. And you say, but I got this craving, this longing in me. And God says to you, he says, do this or don't do that. And as you simply obey and trust God and start walking in obedience to what he said, and you just simply believe it, he will do in you, he will do for you what you can't do it for himself. His power will do it as you simply believe that as you walk before him in obedience, he'll deal with all the issues. But he's looking, what God is looking for in Abraham is to see whether Abraham, it's not whether Abraham trusts God, but whether God can trust Abraham. So he speaks without detail, and Abraham just starts to walk. He says, we're going, and he's got Isaac with him, and at a certain time, he says to his servants, he says, you can't go any further. You've got to stay here. Because sometimes where God's calling you, the destiny God, the place God's going to bless you, you can't take everyone with you. Even people that have been good to you in the past, even people that helped you in the past, you can't take with you next part of your journey. You can spend your whole life pleasing man, but that's just how it is. Sometimes consecration and blessing requires separation. There are people that you've got to separate from. There are people you've got to cut yourself from that have been with you from the past. But to get to where God wants to take you in the future, the place of his provision, you've got to go on. Sometimes you've got to go on just alone with God. And so he has to say to his servants, he says, you stay here. From here, it's just me and the boy. And, you know, Isaac was a grown man, by the way. He was a grown lad. Some people said he was naive. He didn't know what was happening. He knew what was happening. But he wasn't naive. He was simply submitted to his father. And so he goes on, and he's walking in obedience to the last instruction God gave him. And God is he's testing him. Who he loves the most. And he's testing him. Does he really trust me? And will he walk in obedience, trusting that I'll perform and perfect the word I said? So he's testing his love, and he's testing Abraham's trust and faith in him. He's separating him from people that can't go on the next part of the journey with him. And all along, what he's looking for, at the end, it says that when God finally did speak and he lifted up his hand to slay his son, and God says, don't touch him, don't do it. He says, because now I know you fear me and you have not withheld your son. What is it to fear God? I tell you, there's a lot said about fearing God. Fearing God simply means to revere God. It means to be in awe of God. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. And to cut it down in its simplest terms, when we fear God, we know this. We know that we're in awe that God always is faithful to his word. Now, Deuteronomy 28 simply says this, that God blesses obedience and God judges disobedience. When we fear God, Abraham feared God because all he wanted, all he knew in his heart was that God had spoken to him. He'd heard in his inner man, he'd heard in his spiritually God speak. And if he obeyed God, he would be blessed. If he disobeyed God, he would be judged. So even though he didn't understand it, he was going to obey God, and somehow God was going to bless him through it. That's what it is to fear God. It is to know always that God always blesses obedience and God always judges disobedience. It's an involuntary reaction by his holiness. And so Abraham comes to a place, he says, I don't understand this. I don't get it, but I've walked with God long enough that I know if I bless him, it's all going to work out. If I obey him, it's all going to work out. If I do what he says, it's all going to work out. It's all going to be good, but if I disobey him, it's going to be bad. That is the essence of the Christian life, and that is exactly what it is to fear God. But I want to tell you, one of the things that Abraham was able to do, this is one of the things the church really needs to do today. He was able to hear. God said, slay him. That was the word of God. And then God said, as he lifted his dagger, and was about to slay his son on Mount Moriah, at the exact moment he needed to hear again, the heavens were rent, God spoke again in his inner ear and said, don't do it. It's just a test. And this is why you need to be someone who is hungry to hear from God, not just Logos, but hear in the Spirit what God is saying into your heart, into your life. Because if you don't, faith comes from hearing the word, not having heard. If you're not someone who can receive revelation from the Spirit, you'll slay your destiny by obeying yesterday's word. We need to be people who hunger and long to hear what God is saying today. That's why the word of Revelation says, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. But here's the thing. When God tests us, and we respond to God by simply obeying him and walking in obedience to what he's saying to us, when we don't understand it, we don't get it, but God, you're telling me to lay this down. You're telling me to pick that up. You're telling me not to do this. You're telling me not to go this. Other people don't understand it. You're telling me to cut off from this crowd, join up with this crowd. Whatever it is God's telling you to do, say no to this, say yes to this. Whatever it is God's telling you to do in your test, when you respond with obedience, you're saying to God, I love you more than anything. Simple as that. And as you walk just as the best you can in obedience to what God is saying, trusting him that his power will make everything work out, that step by step, that God will do the impossible for you as you trust him and as you obey him, as you walk step by step in obedience to the last thing he said. God will speak to you when you need it again, but this is what's going to happen. As you do that, as Abraham did that, and he was coming to his test, and he was walking in obedience to God, not really knowing how this was all going to work out, but trusting in the goodness and the impossible love of God that he had for him, as he was walking in that obedience and faith before God, and he was going up Mount Moriah with Isaac and the wood and the dagger, he didn't realize, but as he was walking up that mountain, there was a lamb coming up the other side. And the lambs, you can ask anyone, or rams, they don't normally go up that high. They don't normally go up mountains. They live in the valleys, not in the mountains. But God was bringing this lamb up because that ram represented the provision of God. And when you walk in obedience to God, not knowing where you're going, but trusting God, when you don't know what's going to happen, but all you're doing is obeying God, obeying his voice, God's provision is coming up the other side and it'll meet you at the exact right moment. What you're believing God for, he will meet you with his provision at the exact right moment. Whether that's deliverance, whether that's financial breakthrough, which is a family problem, whatever it is, God's provision is actually coming up the mountain as you're walking, not knowing where you're going, but God's provision. God has got it. God is watching. God is bringing what you need on the backside of the mountain. You can't see it, but he's going to bring it and he's going to make it happen at the exact right moment. And Abraham comes to this place, and this is all about provision. This passage is all about knowing how to walk into God's provision. Because when he gets to the mountain, Abraham says, Isaac says, where's the ram? Abraham says, I'm walking in my destiny. I'm walking by faith. I'm walking. I've heard from God. I've heard in my inner ear from what God has said. This is not a time to worry about provision. This is time to trust God. And as he walks, he says to his son, the son says, where's the lamb? He says, my son, God will provide. And when it was all over, Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. It is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided.